Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message. We already talked about it a little bit in our prayer time there, and I apologize for anybody that was hoping to be able to listen to last week's sermon online. The record button didn't get hit, so that it's gone. But that's okay. We've already kind of gone over the gist of it is Psalm 139, if you're interested in reading that. And we're talking about how there are prayers in life that are a little bit more dangerous than what we as your average Western Christians are probably accustomed to praying. We kind of said that, you know, we like to approach God as Santa Claus, and with these dangerous prayers that we're talking about, we're asking God to change some things and to reveal some things. And so the first one that we talked about was, search me. Search me, Lord, and know my heart. Test me. And so we said, you know, there's going to be things that are going to come your way when you pray this prayer that you may not enjoy. And it's not that God is being some kind of meanie. It's not that, you know, you're stupid for praying this kind of prayer or anything like that. It's just the fact that in order for us to see where we're at, in order for us to be challenged to a greater height of faith, sometimes God is going to bring situations into our lives that challenge us, that push us. Last week we talked about it's dangerously powerful to pray, Lord, search me, break me, and use me. And so I want to find out here today, how many of you ended up taking that 10 minutes a day to pray this prayer and just spend some time asking God to search you? Head nods, couple little things. All right, that's good. Now, you're not alone on this. I also did this, and I was kicking myself a little bit, but it was good. It was really good. You know, this week I had my mother-in-law's wedding yesterday, and so I was preparing for that. And then I was also preparing for today. I had to go to the American consulate to get my passport because I'm a dual citizen, and I apologize. We can talk about any gripes you may have later with that. I had to run out to Lethbridge, all kinds of stuff just piling in this one week. And I was like, wow, you know, this week is trying. And especially with my passport, as we were approaching the day where I was going to be going up to Calgary and going to the consulate and trying to get my passport. I mean, I was sweating the details of things. I was like, okay, I need this thing to be able to go where I'm going to go. And what happens if they say no? Or what happens if they say, well, it's going to take 3 weeks and I need it in less than 2 weeks. And I mean, I'm just playing all these situations through my mind. Meanwhile, I'm praying, Lord, search me. And I didn't make the connection. And so finally, you know, I get up there and I go through their little check thing, you know, take off your boots, take off your belt, put everything that isn't, you know, fabric in this jar here, and we're going to put it through here. You walk through the metal detector, all of that. I got up to the seat, and I'm sitting there. I'm like trying not to sweat because, you know, then they're going to think that I'm doing something wrong or something like that, as all these guards in bulletproof vests are standing around watching us like hawks. And finally, you know, they've got all these windows here, and then they call your number for you to go up. And finally, I reached this place where I was like, okay, God, I think I get it now. I really can't do anything else about this. There's, you know, I've got my stuff here. I'm either going to get my passport in time or I'm not going to get it in time. So God, just help me to get the window that you want me to get. And I just felt a peace. And at that moment, you know, I was called up, and I had this lady that was helping me, and there were some things that apparently, you know, the instructions for getting your passport in Canada is very different from what they put online, and so she's looking at me, well, do you have this? No. Well, what's this picture that you took? That's not, it's not? And so she guided me through the process, and it all worked out. And you know, I am just so grateful to God that I was able to come to this place where I realized, wait a second, like maybe, just maybe, some of this stress, some of this stuff that's going on in my life is as a result of me saying, hey, Lord, search me. Because God knows that I'm a details person. I want to know that everything is in order and that I can control every element of every situation. And if I can't, it stresses me out. And so it seems that the test that I was given was giving things over to God and understanding that I need to trust that He's got it all handled. So as I prayed that God would search me, He brought me to this place where I realized that I also had to allow Him to break me. Now, I don't know if you know this about me, but you can ask my wife. I tend to be a little bit stubborn. Yeah, she's laughing, see. She's probably laughing about the little bit part. I tend to be a little bit stubborn, and so, you know, I see these things, and it's like, well, I know that I shouldn't be worrying about this. I know I can't do any more, but there's got to be something that I can do, and it can't possibly just be saying, okay, God, it's in your hands now. And so I think that I actually got a little bit of the break me part in the midst of this search me part, and some of you may have noticed that too, that there's a little bit of this breaking that happens. And, you know, we all have those areas in our lives where I believe that we hold back, where maybe we're a little bit stubborn and we don't want to change, and we don't want to know that about ourselves and then make the adjustment, or we don't want to grow in that area because we know what it is going to require. You know, God asks something of you. He says, hey, I want you to do this. And what do? No. And we dig in our heels, right? You see the little track marks as He's dragging you along, and you're fighting Him the entire way. Or you know, he tells us to do something, and we say, but God, what about this, and what about that? And I'm too afraid, and I don't have the strength for that. I don't have the talents for this. Or he says, listen, this thing in your life, it's not right. I just, you can't continue to do this if you want to grow, to be more like me. And we say, well, I don't want to give that up. That's me. That's what makes me me. I like this thing. Or we think, what will people think if I start to do this? If I go and do this thing, or if I stop doing this thing? What if it gets uncomfortable? What if it hurts? But you see, if we truly want to see God use us in amazing ways to make our community and our world a better place, if we want God to help us to reach our neighbors, our friends, and our family and colleagues with Jesus' love, then we need to pray this dangerous prayer, which is, Lord, break me. We need to begin to pray, Lord, break me. And some of you are sitting there, Pastor Stephen, are you nuts? I've been praying, Lord, search me, and things are bad enough. And now you're like, Lord, now that you've searched me and you've exposed all these things I don't like, just break me. Pastor, why didn't you spread this series out over a couple of months? Yeah. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. And here we see that Jesus is soon to be betrayed and killed. And so we're going to be starting at verse 3. It will be on the screen behind me, as well as you can use the free YouVersion Bible app to follow along and take your notes, all of that. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation today. This is what we read. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. And while he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. So she broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. And some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume, they asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Will you bow your heads as we pray? Heavenly Father, I ask today that you will give us the courage to continue in this place of saying, Lord, search me. But Lord, that we'll take it one step further, that we'll not be content to just say these words where we say, look within me and expose these things, where we say, okay, Lord, and now please lead me. But that we will say, Lord, I want you to make me into who you want me to be. And so break me, Lord. Break me of these things that I am right now that I need to be no longer. Break these things that hold me back, Lord. Lord, I ask today that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak, make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And so what we see here in this passage is Jesus is having this nice dinner. And in comes this woman whose name we don't even know. And we're told that she brings an expensive alabaster jar. Now, this isn't just a cheap little trinket. This is the type of jar that you would pass down as a family heirloom. It's expensive. It's beautiful. It's great. And inside of this beautiful jar, we're told that she has this really expensive perfume. I don't know if you caught it, but the disciples, when they commented on the cost of the perfume, they said, listen, this is worth an entire year's worth of wages. And so calculate in your mind what the average person in North America makes in a year. And imagine that somebody has a single bottle of perfume that costs all of that, and then they walk into the middle of the room and they break open the expensive jar it's in and they dump it over someone's head. I mean, She could have just opened the jar and poured some of it out, right? And I mean, to anoint someone, she didn't have to pour all of it either. She could have just a little bit. Okay, there we go. That's a month's worth, you know? But what we see is that she broke the jar and then she poured it all out. No one could understand. Like, that's insane. You could have helped the poor. You could have done all these great things with that. Why would you break the jar and pour out the perfume? And Jesus says, hang on, guys. You don't understand. She's getting my body ready for burial. She's doing this great thing. See, the poor are always going to be with you. Later on, you can go and find someone who's rich to go and help all the poor. But right now, she's doing the good thing. Because she's preparing my body for burial. She is going out and she is giving me her all. And so a question that you may have on your mind is, what does it mean to break me? I mean, it sounds scary. Anytime that break and me go in the same sentence right next to each other, you know, you start thinking of broken bones, or you start thinking of an anvil falling out of heaven and smashing you to bits, or whatever it is, you know, some kind of emotional turmoil. And so you begin to wonder, well, this sounds scary, so why should I do it? Why should I do it? Why should I pray this dangerous prayer? On our Instagram channel this past week here, I actually had someone comment on the phrase, it's dangerously powerful to pray. And they said, well, what do you mean by that? I don't think that you should say that it's dangerous, because that sounds scary. Uh-huh. This is scary. Break me is scary. Dangerous is scary. It is dangerously powerful to pray, Lord, search me, break me, use me. See, being broken is never comfortable. Nobody wants to be broken. Ever. But often, breaking is what you need in order for great things to happen. Sometimes God needs to break you so that you can be completely free to be who he made you to be. Sometimes God needs to break you so that you can be completely free to be who he made you to be. How often do you pray a prayer that goes something like this? God, I want what you have in store for me, but I don't want this or this or this or this or this. God, I want to do your will as long as it's the same as my will. God, I want you to use me in great ways. I want you to strengthen me, to empower me, but I don't want any pain or discomfort in the meantime. What it really reminds me of is these churches and these organizations that you see, and maybe they're going through a rough time, and you know they're seeing that the younger generation is leaving and they're not coming back, and they see that there's this problem and this problem. You know, for corporations, sales margins are down, all of that, and so they say, we need a new leader. We need a new pastor. And so they bring him in, or her in, and they say, okay, so we want you to pull us out of this rut that we're in. We want to see young people here. We want to start making money again. We want to see butts in seats. But you can't change anything. What? So what you're saying is you want me to change all this, but I can't change anything to change it. Yes. And that's how we approach God, right? We say, God, I don't like this thing and I don't like that thing. And why do you feel so far away? And why does it seem like when I pray, there's nothing behind it? And why can't I feel like you're using me to do great things? And so God says, okay, I'm going to. And you go, whoa, God, why did you do that? You're horrible to me. Like, you're such a meanie, God. See, asking God to break you isn't about you selecting a couple of areas that you could bear to give up. Asking God to break you isn't about you asking him to change you into something that you want to be, but without mixing up the rest of your life. When you pray this prayer, Lord, break me, you're telling God that you surrender completely to him, doing whatever needs to be done to turn you into who he made you to be. It's releasing your potential. And sometimes it may require pain. Imagine the pain of smashing that jar, that heirloom, and then pouring out a year's worth of wages of perfume on Jesus' head. And yet, realistically, what is perfume for but to be used? I think of a butterfly. You know, butterflies, they start out as these caterpillars, and we've all seen them as kids, you know, depending if you're a nice person or if you're a mean person, you may have looked at them and gone, aw, how cute, or you may have poked them with sticks. It all depends on the type of person that you are. But when you look at this little caterpillar and it's crawling across the ground and you're like, man, that looks like so much work, and it's eating these leaves and it's so fuzzy and vulnerable, and you're wondering like, it's cute, but other than that, like, what's the point of this thing? What's it actually doing? And see, at some point, a caterpillar, if it wants to grow, if it wants to become its best self, become a beautiful thing, be free, then it has to enter this cocoon. It has to wrap itself up. It has to experience this pain, this agony, this shifting. And you can only imagine the other caterpillars as one of them reaches this place where it starts to wrap itself up in that cocoon going, what's wrong with you? Do you have a problem with being like us? Do you have a problem with your nice fuzzy shell? Do you have a problem eating these leaves? Do you think you're better than us? What are you doing? And so the caterpillar, it wraps itself up, and in this time that it is in this cocoon, it is struggling and it is wrestling and it's being broken down and it's being built back up, and things are happening. Things that would not happen if it was not going through this process of struggle. And in fact, if somebody were to go along and see that this butterfly or this caterpillar is working hard and is in the cocoon, if they were to rip open that cocoon, what you would get is not a beautiful, glorious, flying butterfly. What you would get is a mangled and torn and weak, useless creature that's good for nothing. See, we have to experience struggle. We have to be broken to fly free. And without the entire process, we will never emerge a strong and beautiful butterfly. There's a picture of a butterfly there. You just don't see it yet. We like to look at the butterfly. And we like to say, what an amazing thing that is. We like to say how beautiful it is. We like to watch it flitter about, and on a beautiful summer's day, long ago when there were actually butterflies flying around. So, you know, if you're under, 25, I'm sorry, you may not see many butterflies. But on a glorious summer's day, watching them flit about and flying around in wonder at these gloriously beautiful creations that God has made. And you may wonder to yourself, well, how does one become a butterfly? To become a butterfly, you have to be broken. You have to be beat up. You have to be knocked down. You have to be torn apart and rebuilt. There has to be struggle for you to emerge that beautiful creation that God designed you to be. And so you see that sometimes God needs to break you so you can be completely free to be who he made you to be. And what we also see is that when God breaks you, there's no going back to how you were before. See, the woman's jar will never be able to go back to what it was before. She broke it. Even if she picked up the pieces and glued it together, it would still be a broken and repaired jar. It would not be a priceless heirloom that is intact. The perfume that she poured out on Jesus' head would never be the same as it was before. She couldn't go and drink back every single last ounce and drop and speck of what she had poured out. And even if she could, the fact is it would no longer be the same because it would have had left the bottle. It would have had touched other things, and it wouldn't come back the same. That butterfly will never be able to become a caterpillar again. It has gone through a transformation and it cannot go back. See, when God breaks you, there's no going back to who you were before you were broken. Remember, this isn't a prayer to be taken lightly. It's a dangerous prayer. There's no saying, okay, God, I don't like the person that I am now. I don't like how I'm willing to step out into these dangerous situations because you called me to them. You know, I don't like the situations that you've been impressing on. Can we just hit the reset button? Let's go back. But you see, if you try to hit the reset button and you go back to the life that you were living before after God has broken you and changed you, then what you will find is the life you had before is not the same life that you were living because you're no longer the same person. Even if you don't let God complete the experience, the fact of the matter is the experience of him breaking you has broken you. You cannot go back. You have to let him complete his work in you. See, it's a dangerous prayer, but it is a prayer that every Christian needs to pray. We can't be afraid of it. So you cannot say, I'm just going to remain the same. And here's why. It's because when you stop growing, you start dying. Okay, in nature, when you stop growing, you start dying. The most depressing thing about when you hit around that 25 to 35 age range is you realize you're no longer growing. And you're not staying the same. See, as soon as you stop growing in nature, you begin to die. Not to depress you. And so if we say, well, in my faith, in my life, I want to stay the same. I want to stay where it's comfortable. I want to stay where it's not dangerous. I don't want to pray these prayers that are going to shake up my life. Then can I just tell you that if you are not allowing God to break you and to grow you, then you have begun to die. Spiritually, you begin to die. So I know it's easy to begin to wonder, well, is God some kind of meanie? I mean, he makes the caterpillar go through all that to become a butterfly. He tests me when I pray, Lord, search me. I pray, Lord, break me, because in order for me to change, he's got to like break me apart and do all these things. This sounds mean. God's just a meanie. I thought he's supposed to be a God that is all lovey-dovey. Why can't it all be easy? Can I share with you, though, that God's really not a meanie, and I'll tell you why. It's because God knows what it is to be broken. God knows what it is to be broken. He's been there. You're never alone through it all, because Jesus was broken for you. Jesus was broken for you. Mark chapter 14, if we go back down to verse 22, here's what we read. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. And then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it, and he gave it to them. And they all drank from it, and he said to them, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many." Jesus was broken for you. Jesus died on a cross for you because he loves you. Because way back in the day, humanity had been in this relationship with God. We were designed to be partnered with him, ruling under him. And we came to this place where we said, it's not good enough to be a friend of God. It's not good enough to be in charge of all of this under God, but I want to be God. I want to be better than him. I want to be in that place I wasn't designed to be in. And you know, that relationship that we were in, it began to fray and it broke. And we may want to blame the first man and the first woman for, they ate that fruit. Those jerks. They messed everything up. But what's the likelihood that if it was you or I in that situation, that maybe we would have done it too? And in fact, every moment of every day, it seems like we do things that just confirm that we're just as guilty as they are. We do so many things to throw roadblocks in God's way, and yet God said, "I love you, and I want you to be mine." And so Jesus came to earth, was born, died, was buried, and 3 days later rose again. Why did he do it? He did it because when you are injured, when someone does something to slight you, they can come to you and they can say, "I'm sorry." But at the end of the day, for the relationship to be repaired, something has to happen in you. You have to kind of die. You have to take a step to be able to repair that relationship. And so you see, Jesus, when he died, he was taking that step and saying, "In my death, I paved the way for you to be forgiven. Believe in me. Believe in me." Jesus was broken for you. See, just as when you're broken, there's no taking it back. Here's a great truth I want to tell you, is that Jesus will never take back his death on the cross. He'll never take back the forgiveness that he extends to you. He'll never take back the promises that he gave to you. And I know it seems scary, but praying, "Break me," is something we all need to do if we want to become more like Jesus. How often have you and I heard someone say that Christians seem just like every other person that they meet? And what's different than you? You don't swear as much as me? You judge people more than me? Like, well, what's really different that's good? And maybe the problem is that for too long, Christians have been treating God like Santa Claus and have been avoiding the dangerous prayers like, Lord, search me and Lord, break me. But imagine what our world would be like. Imagine what our community would look like if Christians began to step out of their comfort zone and began to pray dangerous prayers like this one. And so here's what I want you to do this week, if you're willing to step out with me in this. First of all, if you haven't been already, or if you feel like you need more time doing it, just sit in that place of taking time each day to pray, Lord, search me, as we talked about last week. But then here's what I want you to do. I want you to reflect on what it means that Jesus was broken for you. What's it mean? What's it mean for me? What does it mean for the world? And then I want you to ask God to break the things in you that hold you back from what he desires of you. So reflect on what it means that Jesus was broken for you. And ask God to break the things in you that hold you back from what he desires of you. If you don't think you're going to remember this stuff, write it down or pull it up in the YouVersion Bible app. It's in there. And you can utilize this and you can remember this. But you see, I think that the most important thing there is actually number one, and that is to reflect on what it means that Jesus was broken for you. And so today, I know that we normally pass around this nice little tidy plate of crackers. But since we're talking about breaking, I thought that there would be something a lot more significant to us if we were to break bread together. And so just as we read just a moment ago, Jesus instituted this Last Supper, a time for us to remember what he did for us, to remember that his body was nailed to a cross, that his blood was shed for us, that Jesus was broken for you. So let me pray a blessing for communion and we'll partake together. Heavenly Father, today we thank you that you sent your son for us. Lord, we thank you that Jesus was broken for us. Help us never to forget this. And help us to take solace in this, even as we pray prayers like, Lord, break me. And it seems like everything is coming down on us and we're being torn apart as we're being crafted into a new creation. That we can know that we're not the only ones who have ever been broken, but that you have been there with us. So Lord God, today, as we partake, will you bless us and will you remind us? In Jesus' name, amen.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you, but the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes from a true relationship with their Creator. So, God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master, and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins, and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my master and my savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship. I'd love to help you with that, so if you made that decision today, please send me an email to pastor@abundantsprings.church. That's P-A-S-T-O-R at abundantsprings.church, and I'll be sure to follow up with you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.